And that's what this show is going to be about. We're going to be talking about sports and all the great things at Fresno Pacific College. But we're going to have lots of fun as we do it. Well, what's going on today? I'm going to give a little rundown of all the sports that happened the last week since we had our last show at Fresno Pacific University. I'm going to bring in one of my favorite people on the planet. Yes, Coach CJ Haydock, the men's basketball coach at Fresno Pacific University. I've known him for a long time. He's a kindred spirit in so many ways. I love chatting with him. He's one of those guys I can get into a room with and talk for hours upon hours about life and about basketball. But we're going to talk about a lot of the good things that are happening at Fresno Pacific. They've had some new hires. They are upgrading tons and tons of facilities. I can't wait for you guys to know about all the good things that are happening there. We're also going to bring on one of his players, Isaac Peralta. This is a sophomore. During his sophomore year, I should say, he averaged 13.8 points per game, was a monster on defense, averaged about two steals as well. He's going to be one of the players that Coach Haydock is going to lean on this year. Can't wait to share all the good stuff that's happening from those two guys. All right, we got a recap about the men's and women's soccer from last week. The women, they had a tie against Menlo College, but they got their first win of the season at home to San Francisco's Academy Art to beat them 2-0. A pair of first half goals from Maria Magnus' daughter and Maria Garcia. A couple of Marias with goals in there, so congrats to the women's soccer team. And men's soccer, after they tied Stanislaus State 2-2, Cameron Shiroki's men, they found a victory at home. They beat Cal State East Bay 1-0. Fabricio Saboya got the goal in that one. So congrats to the men's and women's teams for securing wins last week. And men's water polo, this is the game that I talked about last week because they were going to be matched up against a Division I team, George Washington University. But they came up short in that one, lost 19-13. But how about this? Forrest Gray scored 7 goals in that loss. And for his effort, he was named Western Water Polo Association Player of the Week. So congrats to Forrest on that accomplishment. And cross country? Yep, cross country season is happening right now at Fresno Pacific University. They went to the UC Riverside Invitational. They participated in the women's 5K division, and they got second overall. Julissa Avila, she had a top 10 finish, placing 9th. Freshman Maddie Whipple narrowly missed out, finishing in 11th place. But the biggest story of the week came out in volleyball. We had those wonderful players and coaches on last week. Well, last week they went to Biola in SoCal and to open up league play. And how about this? A thrilling 5-set back and forth battle. And this is something that I have not heard about. So I'm learning things here on the show as well. The reason why it was such a massive comeback is because they were down match point in the third set and came back to win the final three games. Unbelievable. It's called a reverse sweep. I learned something yesterday when I went over my show notes. Thanks to Fresno Pacific for sending me all these great notes. So congratulations to the volleyball team on that. Mia Gilchrist had 38 kills and 21 digs across those two matches, earned her PacWest Player of the Week. So there's a little rundown of Fresno Pacific University's athletics department, some of their games from last week. We're going to be having, at the end of the show, Enzo Duffy is going to talk about the games that are coming up. Always look forward to that segment. So congratulations to Fresno Pacific on a great week of athletics. When we come back, we're going to get right into it. Coach CJ Haydock, the basketball coach at Fresno Pacific, is going to join me. We're going to talk about all the good stuff that's happening at FPU. Coming up on the break on the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. All right, thank you guys for listening. This is the Sunbird Sports Show, and I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at the ESPN studios across from Bullard High School. CJ Haydock, he is the men's basketball coach at Fresno Pacific University. I've known him for a long time. One of my favorite people in the world. And I mean, I usually have tons and tons of notes for all my shows, a lot of questions, but for you, it's like open-ended, right? Like 5 or 6 questions, because yeah, we know it's just going to flow.
I think you're saying I talk a lot. I think that's what you're telling me.
No, I think...
Which I accept that criticism. So.
No, we're kindred spirits, and we can... We're kindred spirits. So we can like talk about anything and everything. But we happen to be talking. You're wearing the FPU orange. I got an FPU polo on. So we're going to be talking about Fresno Pacific stuff.
Oh, yeah. We can go anywhere. You and I. We've sat at many a high school basketball game with all of the bunny paths. But yeah, let's fixate on, we got some good things happening in Fresno Pacific.
So. We do. And we're talking off air, right? So summer's kind of a time to recharge.
Yep.
Right? You go to Tahoe, I go to Tahoe, you're South Lake, I'm a North Lake guy. But, right, we need that time to recharge a bit, right?
For sure.
We're both, obviously, in education as well. So what did you do this summer besides Tahoe? You got a new title as well.
Yeah. So I took on a new responsibility at FPU. I'm a assistant athletic director for development now, and started that July 1, and that's been a great time. Lots of responsibilities and things going on. And then, you know, also trying to manage a Division II basketball program. So the recruiting that goes with that, the relationship building that goes with that. And then, you know, I'm blessed with a 9 and 11 year old. And so they also have plenty going on. So yeah, my heart is full. And my plate is also full. There's no doubt.
Well, there's no better person to fill that role than you, right? Like, you are really, really good at managing home life and managing your job and all the stuff that goes along with the position that you're in. So, I mean, that's one of the great things that I appreciate you. So with this new role, like, what are some of the new responsibilities? Like, are you seeing like the development of, you know, the baseball field, obviously the basketball court you're very involved with. So what are specific some of the
new things? For sure. So my responsibilities include, I mentor 7 of our head coaches, which is life giving to me. And a couple of them are such stars that I learn from them more than I grow them. I have some alumni relationship. I have some fundraising responsibilities. Matt Mazzoni was in a role previously, and did an incredible job, and we're, you know, a month away from opening a baseball stadium because of his work. And so, you know, I think too, college athletics, if anybody is a fan, knows how quickly it's changing. And so what that looks like at a private Christian liberal arts school, how does NIL trickle down to us? That's on my plate. How do we make sure, as conference realignment, as the NCAA restructuring, as de-legislation is occurring, all of that kind of comes into play with my roles and responsibilities. But we've got great stuff happening on the facility side for sure. We had a big time summer. You know, we're closing out on a baseball stadium that's going to be the pride of the league. There's not going to be a better facility in the league. And for a baseball rich area like the Valley, and for someone like Oscar Hirschkorn, who's been at FPU almost 2 decades, who started the program.
Yep.
He would get choked up thinking about what that means. For our athletes who played their first inaugural seasons at Clovis East High School.
Yeah.
Like, practice there, the whole deal, right? So we have some really positive momentum on our campus that's really, really exciting to be a part of.
What are some specifics? Like, I'm a baseball guy, right? But what are, like, brand new grass, like dugouts?
Yeah.
What specific does it look like?
Really cool. So it's brand new clubhouse that serves our baseball student athletes who have been getting dressed in a car for the last decade. State-of-the-art concession stand and restroom. I believe it's 700 seats, all shaded, an important part of playing baseball in Fresno. 2 new coaches' offices out there. You know, it's our responsibility in FPU athletics. We say this in every room, and it comes from our president down. It's our responsibility to be the best at the things that matter most. And Oscar has done that in his program. But it's also nice to have nice things. And, you know, I was out there today. It's incredible what's transpiring out there. And everybody on our campus can sense it and feel it. You know, we've had some minor upgrades elsewhere on campus in athletics, but that's the big shining jewel that hopefully is going to spin into what else can we do facilities wise to continue to be something that's first class that represents our Valley well.
Well, that's important, right? Oh. Look good, play good, all those.
Oh, yeah.
Type of cliches that you hear, but it's true, right? Like, people, that attracts people to your college, right?
Yeah.
It attracts, you know, visitors to come and fans to come. So, I mean, that's super important.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, for us at FPU, like, competition matters, right? And when you can walk a potential student athlete into a state-of-the-art stadium and say, hey, you get to play here, that matters. And that unites everybody. People love winners. But also, like, athletics at Fresno Pacific has always existed on a larger spectrum than that for all of our programs. And, you know, a couple years ago, we did some internal data and like, we'll put 100,000 people through our special events center between camps and events and all those things that are community members. So like baseball is the same way, right? Like we are supposed to serve our valley and build community and have something that people get excited about. And when you have a facility that unites them, that serves that larger purpose. And so, just a tremendous amount of excitement around.
Well, last week we talked about that word community, right? And yeah. We're probably going to hear that two or three times every episode because it's true.
Time. Yeah.
Absolutely true. Yep. The floor, you guys getting a new floor about that? Or what are you about floor? Basketball?
You want me to just give you a list? I'll just run it down.
Do the list.
Let's do it. This summer, so we have a new director of athletics who just finished year one and has retooled how we've done some things and rebuilt our administrative staff and tried to center our student athletes and the experience they get. And so that's been exciting. Obviously, the baseball stadium is the crown jewel. It's the thing that everybody on campus is excited about. But new gym floor, new surface on the track. We've got a really cool, the special events center kind of serves as the hub of athletics at Fresno Pacific. There's this really cool mural that went in there. Seven of our teams, mine included, got their own dedicated locker room space we've been sharing for years. And so that's really, really exciting. It's really first class for our student athletes. There's some stuff floating around on social medias of some reveal videos, like the volleyball team did one of those. Just have your own dedicated space and catch us up to our competitors, as opposed to getting dressed in a common PE locker room. That's really exciting. There's just a lot of like positive momentum. The thing about young people is they'll get excited about the shiny things. Yeah. And then if you back it up with things that matter, then you're really onto something. Then you have some momentum and some things that you can move forward to fulfill for us what our mission is athletically.
New volleyball coach, she came in.
Yep.
And Kelsey was fantastic last week.
First place in the league right now for the record. Yeah.
6-3. Am I right?
Yeah. And 2-0 in league. Awesome. And all the momentum and first class individual doing all the right things. Kelsey's a star.
She is.
Yeah.
And new soccer coach, Cam Shiroki, very familiar name to people in the Central Valley.
Yeah.
Doing a great job from Clovis North. How has that been? You mentioned Rockstar, right? Rockstar,
yeah,
for a new volleyball coach. Like, how has that been incorporating some new coaches? Is it just like, yeah, a super positive vibe going on right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of positive momentum. One other two, our women's soccer associate head coach, Roberto Hernandez, is also tremendous. And so, Roberto's from Bakersfield, Cam is from Fresno, Kelsey's from Madera. And they just get Valley Athletics. They get what it means to have a local roster. They get what FPU missionally is about. Like, there are some competitors I just named. There are people that will try to win at anything. Uno, staff Uno, they'd try to win at. But also they get that there's a higher purpose in terms of developing young people that unite around a sport. And so, you're seeing it with success. Men's soccer is off to a great start. They're trending up and at the right time right now as they head into conference play. I think they're going to compete with anybody in the league, and volleyball comes in and has instant impact and is 2-0, and the way our students are being served and all those things has only increased. And so there's good vibes in our department right now for sure, between some facility wins, some good hires that bring great positive energy. And you know, the nature of small college athletics is, until you live small college athletics, yeah, no one knows that experience, right? And that's true admin, that's true coaches, that's true everything. The level of investment it takes, the emotional energy it takes to curate and steward a team that's going to lean on you, you find your tribe really quickly, because people who are in alignment on that support each other and they get invigorated by each other. So that's been really life-giving for our department to watch those young coaches come in with energy and excitement. The soccer coaches working with, you know, a legend in Jaime Ramirez and grow it. It's been really, really fun. It's rejuvenated me in my 10th year. It's really enjoyable. A lot of positive momentum.
Well, I mean, you are, 10 years, right? You just said it, 10 yeah. years at Fresno Pacific. Let's give a little timeline for just kind of like your program and where your program is at now, right now. What's been your process in your own coaching career leading up to your 10th year at Fresno Pacific?
Yeah. So I was a high school coach for 11 years. My last stop was at Emmanuel High School. I came to Fresno Pacific as an assistant for 1 year. And then, for some reason they thought I was the next guy up. And, built our program with freshmen. I like to say I'm a romantic about college basketball, and I think that's true about Fresno Pacific. Like, we are really uninterested in the transactional nature that college athletics has become. So people who support college athletics and miss the golden days, it's available. It's at Chestnut and Butler. That's where it is. It's at Division II, where we don't have to have NIL conversations. We don't have to do all that. We can do holistic development, and we can be the best at it, right? It's available. So we built our program the right way. We started with freshmen, and in my, you know, my first class took us to the national tournament, first time in school history. And then the year after that, we were top 25 in the country. And then, you know, we're doing that again now here with a young group that we started over with, and we'll just always be that way. And I'm blessed enough to have an administration that believes in that kind of continuity and that old school thing. So they'll ride with us through the ups and downs. But we love struggling. Right. I got a struggler right here who's only seen like, oh, what can we be, who believes in the dream? And I just am of the opinion that our young people, our student athletes that come to us as freshmen and stay with us and have to struggle to achieve and have to represent our city the right way, I'm just of the opinion that there's nothing more formative than that. I don't think there's anything more powerful in athletics than that. And so I could wax poetically about small college athletics forever. But that is why FPU exists in the world it does, and it will be the corner we hold. Even in a changing world that you have to adapt to a little bit, there's success there, and there's something that's deeply powerful and meaningful for our Valley and for our student athletes.
And yeah, and so we're talking about Isaac Peralta, who's going to come on after the break, so we're going to get to know him as well. But, you know, let's just hit on that for a little bit, CJ. There's breaking news, right? You woke up this morning and there's a NIL thing going on with UNLV, and got his promised money according to his dad and didn't get the money. So there's college athletics is changing.
Yep.
Right? And so you hit on it a little bit, but you don't have to worry about that. You got kids that are committed to each other,
yep,
to the school,
yep,
and to community, and you don't have to worry about anything else, right?
Yep. And I would tell you, as someone who lives and breathes it, young people want that. And like, we want to serve our student athletes well. We want to make NIL opportunities available to them. But we also don't want it to be transactional. We want it to be transformative. And the reality is that, like, if you hunt the right people, if you know what to look for, if you know what conversations, they want that. Coaches and legislative bodies made college athletics transactional. And now are upset that young people are upset about the transactional nature and can't understand why. We made it a business. So those people who occupy a transformational corner, who are very loud and clear about what's available to young people, there's an advantage in that in terms of who you can attract, the joy it brings, the service it brings to your community, the value they add to your campus and to your city. Heck, I got a 9-year-old daughter running around my basketball practices every day, right? The value they add to my 9-year-old daughter's life is tremendous. And so it is unwise for us to take an institutional perspective that, hey, it's changing, we should stay to these old school ideas and only do that. We have to update. We have to stay with the times. But also, I think we're pretty steadfastly committed to an experience and to holistic development. And it sets us apart, in my opinion. And I think more and more people are going to want to see college athletics return to that, as opposed to the transactional nature it's become.
And I've seen that personally with my own eyes and with my own ears. I've talked to one of your players just by happenstance. Heck, I think this was about 6 years ago. And we're talking about you and your community mindedness and your basketball wit and all those things that make CJ Haydock, CJ Haydock. And he said, yeah, I didn't know if I was going to play basketball, because I had a young son. And you were able to bring a TV and some things to keep him occupied, right? You know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
While he was playing basketball for you. So, you know, I mean, that's, and I didn't seek that interview out. It just happened. I happened to talk to a basketball player. So I've seen it. And when other people in the community see that, I mean, it just makes the Fresno Pacific experience even more, and people hear about it. It's transformative. All right. I've got a couple minutes here, CJ, with just you. I want to ask about your basketball team, right? So where are you guys at now? When are, I mean, I don't even know. When are full practices? When you got scrimmages and all that fun stuff?
Totally. We're gearing up now. D2 is different in the fact that we have no summer session, so we can't touch our guys from April 24th to August 29th or 23rd was the time frame. We 8 hours a week with our guys right now total. Four of those have to be non-basketball related, so we get 4 hours of basketball and then 4 hours of strength and conditioning. And then next Friday starts our 35-day window the NC2A gives us. So we get 25 days of practice starting 35 days away from our first game. So we're 44 days away from our first game. So we really start to go a week from tomorrow. And we got 8 new guys. We got, you know, our four. We got a really good returning core, a bunch of young guys that we're really excited about. And they've had the summer they need to have and all those things. So it's starting to go. October becomes September, you fundraise and you recruit and you do all those things. And then October, you try to really narrow in on your team, because that 5 week period and those 25 practices are going to make or break your first 3 weeks of the season. So right now I'm pulled lots of directions. In about a week, I'll be pretty singularly minded, without a doubt. So it's starting to go.
Okay, so I know I'm pretty quick, or you're pretty quick, I should say. When I text you, you're getting back to me really quick. So I think probably during basketball season, we might have to wait a couple hours, right?
You'll get a lag.
I'll get a little bit of a lag.
You'll get a lag.
You're gonna be busy, but then
although you just are always holding on to the hope that you're getting like a, you know, important recruits texting you, and you're like it's urgent,
got a guy,
or
got
like
a guy.
One of your guys is, you know, in need of something. So college basketball coaches are perpetually glued to their phone in an unhealthy manner. Okay. So I'm usually a pretty good texter.
All right, we're going to bring Isaac on in just a second here. I need like a minute and a half version of one of your craziest recruiting stories. Like every recruit has a story. I know you're laughing because I gave you 90 seconds, right? But can you give me something?
Oh, yeah. My Rolodex is going. So I'm going to stay away from the insane fathers we deal with. So recently, I won't air out who it was, but so college basketball is super competitive in recruiting and it's cutthroat. There's, you know, lots of people who are less interested in the rules than we are. And so we had a young man committed to us last year, and I went to a high school state playoff game. So he had said he was coming, but he hadn't put pen to paper yet. And a rival school was there. So I was there and sitting like middle of the gym, front row, ready to go. And the rival school shows up and sits like two rows behind me and like 10 feet away. So after the game, gosh, now I'm a little embarrassed by this, but it is what it is. I'm a competitor too. After the game, they lost. It was their last high school game. And so I made an effort to physically put myself between my rival school and the young man that they wanted to speak to.
You were boxing out.
It's a full box out drill.
Okay.
And I maintained, and it was like their last game of the season, so there was like tears in a long locker room meeting. So I'm in the gym and physically standing between this other coach and my guy for a solid like 45 minutes waiting for him to come out. And then when he came out, I made sure I walked him all the way to his vehicle to make sure that I got all the attention and all those things. So I haven't played competitively in a few years.
Yeah.
So it was definitely the best box out I've executed.
Sharpening
in the last
up
5 or 6 years.
Too,
yeah,
right?
I was ready. I was real, real physical box out on that one. So, yeah.
Tales from the recruiting.
Yeah. I have unlimited one. We can do a whole episode on ridiculous recruiting
stories. You're
definitely
coming on. I mean, this is a weekly show, and we got a lot of shows left in the year. So you're definitely going to come on some more. And you're going to come on because we got a guy that we're going to talk to, one of your players, Isaac Peralta. Coming up next, this is the Sunbird Sports Show. You're listening to 790 ESPN.
You know who that was?
Sports Show on 790.
Welcome back to the ESPN. Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. We got men's basketball coach CJ Haydock, and we have now one of his players, Isaac Peralta. Coach Haydock was just raving about him off air. Defensive monster, a wizard, average over 2 steals a game, and don't forget those all important 13.8 points a game as well.
Need every one of them.
Need every one of them. He's going to be one of the main returners next year. So, I mean, we might as well get this out of the way, right? Coach, I know you like to have fun. You're a fun guy. but who right now, who's the best shooter in the room between the three of us? Let's go.
I'm number one.
Definitely me.
I'm number one.
How are we going to solve this? I got to come to
We'll shoot it out at practice.
We're going to shoot it out after practice.
It's a great Twitter video segment is what we'll do. We'll add this to the Twitter resume. Yeah.
All right. We'll go, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute.
Isaac is in incredible shape, so there can't be a conditioning element is my only.
No, that's right. No, it's got to
be standstill, your own pace.
So no
10
clock.
Threes from the top of the key, and let's see who goes.
All right. Well, that gym actually is where, well, first of all, I got my first dunk, our first one of two dunks. And then I hit 24 threes in a row in that gym too. So I'm saying I got some favorable rims. I know all the sweet spots in that gym. Let's put it that way.
One of my favorite things pre-practice, I'm a pretty feisty guy pre-practice. And one of my favorite things is to walk to each hoop and let everybody know where they all stand as shooters. And then proceed to brick three off the rim and prove my whole point wrong. But it's okay. So,
all right. We're going to have to definitely settle this on the court. But we got a special player here, Coach, to your left. We're going to bring him on in just a second. But I want you to speak about him first. What does he bring to the program? Obviously, he's got some great stats. But like every one of your players, he's got a story to tell as well. But what does he bring to your program?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think we've had a long tradition of really, really high-end point guards at Fresno Pacific. Every single one of our point guards has been an all-league guy before they graduated in my 9 years as a head coach. And so there's a long tradition there in the way we play and all those things. I think with Isaac, it's been really, really fun when he showed up, and he can attest to this, his first 6 weeks, we knew he had to play right away as a freshman. I was very, very concerned about his defensive acuity. And I was all over him. And, you know, that freshman year, he had some health stuff and up and down, but was a really good player for us. So then to watch somebody get told, like, hey, this is what we need from you. This is what it takes here. You're talented. You live at the rim. You make plays for others. You get to the free throw line. You got this competitive spark that's really important for our team. To then watch him turn around, and it almost felt like he was, like, trying to put it in my face in a good way, like, prove me wrong. Like, no, coach, like, I can defend, and I can do it at a really high level. So then last year to be the kind of defensive, it just speaks to like who Isaac is in terms of like, he didn't sign up to come to Fresno Pacific for us to tell him, hey, you have to guard 94 feet because that's what we do here. You got to push the pace all the time. By the way, I'm going to play you like 37 minutes a night, which we're trying to help him with now. He didn't sign up for all that, but he just embraced it, right? And, you know, our young guys, our young crew, for a variety of reasons, injuries and other things, got thrust into the fire. And to watch him like navigate that, stare it down, the level of work, his buy-in, like very sequentially on what we wanted. Hey, we really need you to shore up your defense. And now this summer, like, hey, we got a couple things we want you to shore up on offense. To watch him just lean in. Most young people get distracted. They get distracted by other things they want to add to their game. And Isaac's maturity level in terms of like, no, I'm going to attack exactly what's asked of me instead of what I want, because I know that gives us the best way to pathway to be successful is really cool. Tremendous student, unbelievable family. Fresno is lucky to have this dude wearing our city's name across his chest.
All right, Isaac, I want to hear your story straight from your mouth. So where did you play high school ball and how did you end up at Fresno Pacific? What was that journey like?
Yeah, so I played high school basketball at J. Sarah in Mater Dei for my first 3 years of high school in the Trinity League, which in my opinion is probably one of the best leagues in Southern California for sure.
And I think that's everyone's opinion.
Yeah. I was blessed to just play with a lot of talented players and against. And then for my senior year, I transferred to Coronado in Henderson, Nevada. And I think that was an adjustment, but definitely a really good experience for me because we got to play on a lot of national tournaments like all over the country, like Chicago, Arkansas, Phoenix, at all the Hoop Hall Classics. And I think, like, the players, like, the level of talent I was exposed to, like, really helped me adjust my game as far as, you know, my athleticism, the pace that I play with, and, you know, just making quick reads on the floor. And as far as how I got to FPU, one of our previous coaches used to be on staff, Coach Daniel Dyke. I got in contact with him my sophomore year, and, you know, I've kind of just always had a connection with him. But throughout high school, like as I got to my junior and senior year, I kind of had like this like D1 or bust type mindset that like during my senior year, like I later on understood that that's just not always the right approach to have. And, you know, I kind of rekindled my relationship with Daniel because like at that point I was really just trying to go to a place that really wanted me for me. And I was going to just appreciate what I can bring to a program and just not go somewhere where I'm going to be like third or fourth option or on the back burner, you know. And I think that I've got that experience here so far for sure.
Well, Coach Haydock mentioned it's an adjustment for everybody, right? Especially, you know, for freshmen, right? You're thrown into the fire. Mm-hmm. It might be even be a little more difficult, right? You hear that D1 or bust all the time. I, you know, talk a lot about high school sports. So I know that mentality. I know how wrong that mentality can be. Mm-hmm. Right. So what was the adjustment like from high school to college? What's been like something that you really had to grind about?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, in high school, I kind of thought like, oh, like, you know, there's just all the talent is D1. But like when I first got here, I was like, man, there's some really talented players in Division II level, especially in the Pac West, you know, being one of the best conferences in Division II basketball. And, you know, I just really had to realize like, damn, I really gotta keep working like on my skills and trying to improve like every single day to be able to be an elite player in this conference, because there's so many pros that come out of, you know, our league and are like can produce just as good as Division I players can. So
yeah. I mean, agree. Like Division II basketball is, I mean, it's legit. It's really, really good basketball. What did you do specifically this summer? Did you try to improve on any one point of your game coming into this season?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely try to just work on my three ball a lot and being like more of a threat from the perimeter for sure, and just trying to get to my spots like in the mid-range area and just getting stronger in the weight room, working on my speed and agility, because I know that's always been one of the main assets of my game. So yeah, just staying consistent with that.
And defense never goes in slumps, right?
Never goes in slumps.
What's been like one of your favorite memories so far at Fresno Pacific? Coach Haydock and I had a conversation. I think it was like maybe a week or two after that crazy three overtime game.
Four overtime.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. My bad. I should be doing overtime.
Yeah.
Four overtimes.
Yeah.
Right? And how many minutes do you think this guy played? 56.
He was in the 50s.
Yeah, 56. He knew right off. That was right in his pocket. He knew. Yep. 56 is the number.
56.
And then had to play 2 days later.
Yeah. My body was cooked.
What's like a memory that stands out? Maybe it's that game.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. Like, it was definitely the four overtime game against Westmont at home. I just think that was probably one of the craziest games that I've been a part of for sure. And I think that our crowd was really into that game and really gave us like that boost of energy to close that game out. And yeah, it was just like a roller coaster. Like, it just almost seemed like that game was never gonna end. I think I remember like in one of the overtimes, I think we were down six, but like being down six and like the third overtime feels like you're almost down 20. Yeah. It's like, because it's very limited possessions, and you know, we were able to get back in the game and just keep fighting and eventually come out on top. And I just remember in the locker room, we were just like, we came in, and instead of being happy, I think we were like, what just happened? Like, we were all in shock, but in a good way for sure, and just very proud to get that done.
Absolutely. Got Isaac Peralta from the Fresno Pacific University men's basketball team and Coach CJ Haydock as well. We talked a lot about community with Coach Haydock before this last break. What do you love about the school?
I mean, for me, like, I just love how, like, much of a close-knit, like, community is, and, like, the bonds and relationships that I've built there. I feel like throughout my life, the schools that I've went to, haven't really been able to get close with too many people, because it's almost like I only get to know them for, like, a year or two at max. But I think here, like, this being my third year, like, I've really got to, like, put my trust in, like, the program here, and then just, you know, all the students that I go to school with, and it's been like really good for me, like for sure.
What's some of your favorite classes you're taking? Have you declared a major yet?
Yeah, I'm doing business management. I couldn't really say I have a favorite class yet so far.
Hoops is favorite. Yeah, class.
But yeah.
Is there another sport that you really support? Like, do you go watch? I mean, obviously, like the women's, right, basketball
for
team.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, go to soccer, go to baseball games, or maybe some track and field events.
Yeah, I love going to the soccer games and the baseball the baseball games because a lot of my friends play there, and we love going to support them. And, you know, I used to play soccer back in the day, so, like, I still, like, know a lot what's going on and stuff. So, yeah, soccer and baseball are up there.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Like, if you didn't play college basketball, like, what's your second best sport, I guess?
Honestly, I would say football because – that was my dad's first sport growing up, and football was actually, like, the first sport that I picked up. Started playing it when I was, like, 3, just tossing the ball around. And I just always had, like, extreme passion for it. But my mom was a little skeptical about me playing tackle in middle school. And then by the time I got to high school, it was kind of like you really just had to choose one sport to lock in on, and that was obviously basketball.
So let's go back a little bit. Jay Sarah and Modern Day?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. I've never been to any of those, like, gyms live, right? I've seen games online or on TV. Like, what's the atmosphere like in some of those crazy games?
Oh, it's unreal. Like, especially at Modern Day, I mean, they always have, like, the number one football program in the country, like, every year. I remember my freshman year, they played IMG at home, and that was probably 20-plus NFL, like, talent on the field that day. Like, it was crazy, and the whole crowd was into it, and they actually ended up beating IMG, so, yeah, it was wild.
That is wild. All right, so I want to ask you a couple more questions here, Isaac. Food. What's the food situation at Fresno Pacific? Because I heard it's getting better, but what's, like, your favorite thing to eat, maybe pregame and all that stuff?
I'll probably say, like, I'm not picky at all about food. I like it all, but I would say, like, I tend to lean towards, like, a lot of, like, Asian fusion places. So I like a lot of, like, fried rice, chicken fried rice, pad thai, any of that stuff. Sushi, like.
Before a game?
Yeah, I can eat fried rice, too, before a game.
Well,
yeah.
What's a typical meal here, Coach, pregame? What do you suggest, strongly suggest? I mean, how does that –
So pregame
do?
At home, they're kind of on their own.
Got it.
On the road, Coach McClurg, my assistant, is in charge of it, so we do pretty well in the food department with him. So usually we're rice and chicken on the road when it's pregame. That's, like, our standard. Occasionally we'll mix in a sandwich. We have, like, a leadership council. They kind of speak into the pregame meal situation.
So, okay, all right. I wanted an overview because I'm a big foodie, right? So I got to know what these guys are eating with the coaching staff.
We try to stay away from chains, so you'll be proud of us. We try to teach them the finer things in life.
When
we travel, we do a pretty good job.
All right. Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. So Monday was my 24th wedding anniversary. And for the first time ever, I mean, we spent bucks at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Wow.
We
good
went
work.
For it. Right.
Good
and
for you.
It was absolutely phenomenal. It was as advertised.
I love it.
Legit. It was legit food. But you're not doing Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I mean, you're taking care of your boys.
If there's a donor listening who wants to cover it, then we're happy to do so. But I don't think the school is going to fund it. No.
All right. We got about another minute here with Isaac. So, Isaac, just kind of hopefully we'll have you on the show again. I mean, who knows? We're going to be doing this every Wednesday night here on 790. But what would be a great start to the season, and what are some of your goals throughout the year?
I think a great start for the season would definitely trying to go 2-0 in our opening games against Stan State and East Bay. I know, like, the last two seasons I've been here, we've dropped both those games. Last year we got really close, lost to both those teams within, like, 5 to 6 points. So I think if we can, you know, get those two games done, that'll be, like, a lot of good momentum for us, like, going forward. And repeat that second question.
Well, just, like, what are some of your goals, right? Goals for,
like,
the year.
Individually?
Personally,
Definitely just, for me, try to, like, I want to shoot 33% or above from three-point this year. And just keep getting the job done on defense, like, averaging at least 2 or more steals a game. And also just really trying to buy in on getting my teammates involved a lot. I really want to get my assist up for sure, especially, you know, I got a lot of good shooters with me this year, and I want to get our bigs involved, and just I always want to elevate the level of play of my teammates around me. So, yeah.
Great answer. How about PacWest Defensive Player of the Year? I'll add that.
I do love that he immediately went to, like, these are the metrics and not the award. Tells you what the young man's about. So that's the coach speak take on it for sure.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, guys. We got another segment here. CJ Haydock, men's basketball coach. Isaac Peralta. I appreciate you guys greatly.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Appreciate you.
All right. Now it's time for our next segment. as this is going to be a regular appearance. I love it. We're going to bring in Enzo Duffy, a member of the swim team. He does soccer play-by-play for the men's Sunbird soccer team. He's got some questions for our guys. All right, fire away.
Comes from Stephanie Myro. This is for Coach CJ. How has coaching evolved since you started coaching?
Oh, boy. I think I could write a thesis on this. For the sake of brevity, I got old is the answer. That's how coaching has evolved. Like, when you start coaching and you're, like, near, it's almost like you're coaching your peers and you listen to the same music and you do all the same things. I think, like, learning modalities have changed. I think we know, like, Paul and I talked about this earlier, like, young people want something that's true, that's real, that's formative. I think that's more pronounced than ever. And then obviously the like business of college basketball continues to change underneath us with conference restructuring and all those things. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
All right. Thank you, CJ. This next question is from FBU student section leader, Natalie Santana. Is for Isaac. How did playing in different environments like Orange County and Las Vegas influence your style of play?
Yeah, it definitely impacted it in a lot of ways. I feel like I said a little while ago, with you know playing the Trinity League, which is like the best league in Southern California. There's definitely like a lot of talented players there. And then going transferring over to Coronado for my senior year, I was definitely like on a national scale, which I had to play against a lot of top players in the country almost like every other night. So definitely had to always be on my toes and, you know, be ready for the next challenge and always just work on my game for sure.
Sounds good. Next question is for you, Isaac, one more time. FBU volleyball player Cambria Waits is asking, looking ahead to the season and your teammates, do you already see the difference between this season compared to last one?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think our team has actually been like really locked in and stayed disciplined on keeping good habits on and off the floor. And I think we're going to be able to do a lot of different things this year in a good way, as far as playing in transition a lot more and playing fast and being able to guard very versatile with all our positions on our team. So, yeah.
Nice. I'm excited to see you guys play this year. We're going to go back to Coach CJ for this next one. Comes from Jay Johnson. What do you prioritize most in developing a winning team? Offense, defense, or playing mentality?
Yeah. I think I would say like team culture. Can I create my own answer? I think I would say like our level of like habit building. So that may fall under player mentality, but it's broader. How do we communicate with each other? How do we bring positive energy to every situation? How do we encounter hard things? All those things. If you force me into a corner on one side of the ball or the other, I mean, this is my ninth season at FPU. We've had three teams in the top 25 in the country on defense and five in the top 50. So if you force me into a corner, offense, defense is always defense for sure. But above that, I would say is culture and mentality and however you want to term that. That's what matters most to us.
We got to get those box out for the rebounds.
Yeah, I got to. I love it.
All right. We're going back to Isaac for the last question of today's section. It comes from Mia Jones. What has your experience been playing for the Nicaragua national team?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Obviously, my dad is Nicaraguan, and he was born there. And he ended up moving to the States when he was about five and was raised in Miami. But most of my family on my dad's side, they all live out in like Florida, so I haven't like really been able to spend much time with them and like get to know more about my heritage. But like playing, getting to go to the camp this summer was definitely a great opportunity for me. And the coaches really like my game, and they want me to come play for them next summer. So I think it was really good, and that I get to get like that overseas experience and be able to play internationally. So yeah.
All right, back to you, Paul.
All right, that's absolutely fantastic stuff. That is a wrap on another edition of the Sunbird Sports Show here on 790 ESPN. A huge thanks to Fresno Pacific University. The university is doing a fantastic job. And as you heard this last hour, great things are happening on campus. Thanks to CJ Haydock, Isaac Peralta, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, and Enzo for doing a great job with those questions. We'll do it again next week. Have a great week, everybody, and go Birds.
Go Birds.
Yes, sir.